Okay, we're starting Hilchos Shmita V'Yavol today, and this will bring Sefer Zeroyim to a close. So, as the Rambam does, he lists the mitzvos out prior to starting the section. There are quite a few of them in Shmita and Yovel. You'll see why soon. So, the Rambam says, Yish b'chol shtayim ve'esher mitzvos. So, 22 commandments, teisha mitzvos aseh, 9 positive, v'shlosh hashem mitzvos lo saseh, and 13 negative. Zera partam. Okay, the first is shetishbos ha'aretz v'shvi'is m'mulachta. So, you have to let the land rest from work during the seventh year. You can't work the land this year. You can't do tree work during the year, and we'll see what that is later. Svichim, which is a big area in Shemitah that refers to things that grow on their own that aren't planted in a field, so those can't be harvested either. That refers to what it called to grapes. You can't harvest grapes like you normally would. So you have to basically give up ownership of anything that grows in the ground. Now moving into loans, you have to give up all loans, all rights to loans. So you also can't pressure, what do you call it, the debtors, or you can't demand payment from them. You can't hold back from giving out loans because of the concern of Shemitah negating those loans. Lisbor Hashanim Sheva Sheva. There's actually a positive commandment to count the years in sets of seven. Lekadesh Shnasa Hamishim, to make the 50th year, which is Yovel, holy. Lisko B'Shofar Ba'asir B'Tishrei Kedei Latzei Sabadim Chofshi. So you have to blow the shofar on the 10th of Tishrei, which is mostly in Kippur, in order to allow the servants to go free. Yud Gimel Shlo Ta'abed Adama B'Shanazu. Okay, in that 50th year, you can't also work the land. You can't also harvest any produce that grows in on its own. You also can't harvest the grapes in the normal way in that year. Next, so you have to basically allow for the land literally to be redeemed during this year. And that's called stay achuza, which are the fields you inherit from your family, and stay mikne, which is fields that were purchased. We'll get to those later. So you can't ever sell any part of Eretz Yisrael in a permanent way. Yurchas din bati arechoma. Okay, this is the halachas that refer to selling houses that are located in cities that have walls. Next, you have shalol yinachal kol shevet levi Eretz Yisrael anotzim lahem arim matana l'shevet behem. That basically shevet levi gets no land in Eretz Yisrael. Rather, you have to give them cities as presents for them to live in. Chaf shalol yikach shevet levi visa. So basically, what do you call it? They can't take a shevet levi. Can't take any spoils from war. Chafal b'itan levim arim l'shevis and begushan, to give the levim themselves cities to dwell in. Chabei shal yimkor migrash aram ela goalim olam bein l'fnei yolo bein l'acher yolo. Also, this land that exists inside their cities can never be sold. Rather, they have the opportunity to go ahead and redeem them. What it called before and after yolo. Okay, so we'll start off first. Rambam starts off with the specific halachas of Shemitah. Halacha Aleph, the Rambam, Parakav Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, Mitzvah say lishbos me'avodas aretz, avodas ilam b'shan hashviz. So you have to rest from both working the land, okay, which is any agricultural land work, or any work on trees during the seventh year, Shem Rambam, Shabbos aretz, Shabbos l'Hashem, v'nevar b'charich v'katsir tishbos. That's the drush it goes back to. The Torah only mentions plowing and harvesting. We'll come back to that. V'chol ha'osim l'lacha me'avodas aretz, o ha'ilanos. Anyone who does any of this agricultural labor, Zu, bittel bishanazu in this year, bittel mitzvah sasei, not only do you nullify a positive commandment, vavro lo sasei, you're over in Israel as well, shenar mar sadacha lo sizra, v'chamracha lo sizmor. These translations are important too. You can't plant or sow in your field, nor can you prune slash trim your vineyards. Halacha beis, ein elokim yatorah ala alzriya, o alazmira, v'alxira, v'abasira. These are the four things listed in the Torah. You only get malchus for planting, all right, for pruning, for harvesting, and for also, but zero to say trimming. Doesn't matter if it's a vineyard or other types of trees. Now the Rambam is going to get into what these categories are. Halacha gimel, uzmira b'chlal zriya, u'b'tzira b'chlal k'sira. So technically speaking, so pruning or trimming is considered a subcategory of sowing. And what do you call it? Harvesting, let's say, grapes is considered part of the category of regular harvesting. Lama pratan akasav lomar l'cha, al shtei tolos elu b'vad, hu chayev. So why did the Torah, what it called, only mention these four specific ones, which really only fall into two categories? To tell you, these are the ones, these toldos, meaning Zemira and Bitsira, which are toldos, which are secondary categories or secondary subcategories. Those are the only ones you get malchus on, but all the other tolos, all the other types of agricultural labor, with the other major categories of agricultural labor, which are not specified in the Torah, you would not get malchus for, but you would get rabbinical lashes. Al malchus on malchus martyrs, you would get rabbinical malchus for all those. Okay, so of course the Rambam is going to explain it. Halacha dala, kitza. Ha chofer or a chovers letzorcha karka. Okay, so when a person digs or plows for the sake of the land, o misakel o mizabel, or let's say someone, misakel is removing stones, mizabel is spreading out fertilizer in the land, these are all considered agricultural laborers that benefit the land. So too, b'chena mavrech or markev onotea. So too, if someone goes ahead and experiment with sauce by extending the tree or grafting or planting, these are all tree-based activities. Makanaso makas martis with Ibrahim. You get rabbinical lashes because these specific things were not listed in the Torah. So you get rabbinical lashes for violating this. You cannot plant any tree or anything on Shvita, even if it's not fruit bearing. So even if it doesn't bear fruit, you still can't plant it. You can't cut off an abnormal growth that occurs on trees. Also, you can't go ahead and remove any dry leaves or what do you call it, or buds or things of that nature, branches. Lo yavek et simrasa ba'avak. You also can't apply dust to a tree. Lo yashen tachtav. You can't put smoke on anything. Kadesh yamos atalas to kill off the worms. Lo yosef chasenatias b'davar sheish lo zuhama. You also can't go ahead and apply like this ointment to the trees. Kadesh yochal so ov kishurach. You apply it on there because it stinks and therefore birds won't eat it. You can't do that. You also can't put, you can't put oil, for instance, on unripened fruit. You can't put holes in them. You can't bind plants together. You also can't trim them. You can't prepare any type of wooden support for trees. These are obviously just examples. Any labor that you're doing to trees, you can't do. If we did any one of these during the Shemitah year, machnas or machnas martis, you would get rabbinical lashes. So you can't light a fire where there's like an area of reeds that's overgrown because that's considered working the land. You can't train a cow to plow on your regular land. You could do that on the sand. They bokenes is wrong, but utzitz mali afar. You can't go ahead and test seeds with using to see if they're viable using flower pots. But you can check it in a flower pot that has full, it's full of, let's say, manure. The shorness is run, b'shvias, give the zorim motzei shvias. You can soak seeds during Shemitah to save them, to plant them after Shemitah is over. You're allowed to have aloe plants grow on the top of your roof, but you're not allowed to water them. Sokanes at Elon Basikra, so you're allowed to go ahead and paint a tree with a red type of paint to mark it. Vitono sobavanam, and you can load it with stones. The ojin tachasakafanam, you can actually dig out troughs underneath vines. And the kashkesh bezesim, okay. And when it comes to for zesim, for olives as well. Now, imle habros is Elon Usser, but if you're doing it to make the trees grow better, it's Usser. Then listom as a psimim, but if you're there to close the cracks in it, then it is permitted. And you'll see it's consistent in Shemitah. Your das, your intention, plays a big role determining whether it's permitted or not. Mashkin beis ha-shlachim mishviyas. So beis ha-shlachim, what is that? You're allowed to irrigate it. V'hisadeh ha-zriya shetzama biyoser. That's a field that is very dry during, what it called, Shemitah. V'chein sadeh ha-yilano. So too, if you have an orchard, imayu meruchakin zemizeh, yeser me'eser le-beiseya. If there's a space between them that's around a beiseya's worth, you can go ahead and guide water from one to the other. But you can't go ahead and water the entire field. Let's say you're very close to each other, then you can then irrigate the entire field to help out those trees. So too, where there's a certain amount of dirt that's mixed with water, you can mix it up with water during Shvias, so yifsadu, and this is the key. You can sprinkle this over the trees to make sure they don't die. That's always halacha and shmita. You can't do things that promote growth, but you can do things to make sure the plants don't die. Halacha tes, osin ugayos ligafanim. You're allowed to dig a pit around the vines, the grapevines. You can make an irrigation ditch at the outset of Shemitah year, and you can fill up reservoirs that are filled with water. You can refill them with water as needed to help irrigate the plants. So why are all these activities allowed? Right? Simple. Because if you don't do this, then the land's going to basically dry out and all the trees will die. The prohibitions he's talking about, especially the ones that are rabbinical in origin, lo gazu, the chachamim weren't misakin al elu she'in asr min datara, el osan shnei avu she'toldo shalahem kamosh miyadu. So basically, they didn't oppose, they didn't come in and say all these things are asr. Because as we know from the Torah, the only technical things that the isuri derais apply to are the ones mentioned above, the two avos and the two toldos. Alach yudav. Now, mishiravu ha'anasin. Okay, now when, let's say, it's a period of time where, what do you call it, we live underneath a non-Jewish rule and they're very evil to us and they force us to do things we don't want to do. And let's say, for instance, they force the Jewish people to provide sustenance, okay, to the soldiers. You're then allowed to go ahead and plant things during Shvita, specifically for the servants of the king, the soldiers. So too, let's say someone forces you to to work the land during Shemitah year without any pay. You're allowed to go ahead and do that. If someone does plant crops during Shemitah, whether you did it accidentally or purposely, Yakor, you have to actually uproot them. Why? We don't trust Jews when it comes to Shemitah. Because if we allow someone who did it, right, let's say he did it purposely, he'll say, no, I did it b'shogeg. So this way, it doesn't matter if it's shogeg or mezid, you have to uproot that which you plant during Shemitah year. Alach yugimel. Achor shesadeu, let's say a person plows his field, onara ozabla b'shvias, or let's say he just simply breaks the ground, or he applies fertilizer during Shemitah, kadesh yafal izria, b'motze shvias, to make it so that it'll be better when it comes time to plant after Shemitah is over. Konsen oso, we fine him, we penalize him. Lo yizrein b'motze shvias, he's not allowed to plant after Shemitah is over. He's not allowed to, he's not allowed to hire other people to go ahead and plant it. Rather, he has to let it, leave it alone. But however, if the guy dies, they remove the penalty from his son and he would be allowed to plant. Let's say a person's removing thorns from his field during Shemitah to go ahead and improve the plants for the following year. Let's say he removes stones, even though he's not supposed to. Here we don't penalize him. He would still be allowed to plant when Shvias is over. One second. Let's say someone buries in the ground like radishes v'shvias during Shemitah year. Let's say some of the leaves are we can see some of the leaves on the top of it. We're not worried about it. However, if we buried it all the way, it's aser. Let's say someone wants to head and go and bury these types of onions. So you should place at least 4 kav of dirt over it. And you bury them in an area where people will normally walk. So this way they won't grow. You're allowed to rip off the stalks of rice that come out during Shemitah, but you can't cut them off one by one. Halacha design. At first, the Chachamim said, a person's allowed to gather wood and stones and grass from his field. As long as he takes the bigger ones, because it's clear in doing so, he's not trying to clean off the land. But when it comes to cleaning out my friend's field, right, I was allowed to clean up whatever was in the field, and it won't be a problem. But when the Jews started sinning more and more, because their intention really was to clean the field. However, but they would say, no, we're only taking the bigger ones. So I can't gather the stuff from my field, okay? But I can do it from my friend's field, right? As long as I'm doing it, what they call it, out of a favor. That I don't do it as a favor. Because we don't want to say to him, Look what a favor I did for you that I cleared your entire field. Let's say a person's animal is standing in his field. I can then go ahead and gather all the stuff I want to. Because the fact that the animal is there tells us exactly what its intention is. So too, let's say his kira, that's what his cooking range is located in his field, he can gather everything in there and burn it, because clearly the kira being there reveals his intent not to clean the field, but rather to provide for the oven, or the range. Let's say a person cuts down a tree to use as firewood, or is it mutal lisharshon? He could dig out the roots that are in the ground. Let's say he cuts down three or more that are right next to each other, then lo yisharsh, he shouldn't cut out the roots. Train misakin its aretz, because then he's fixing the ground. Ella kotes val aretz, he can cut what's above the ground, v'neach shirash av aretz, and leave the roots in the ground. This belongs to him, but if it belongs to his friend, mutal lisharsh, it's permitted for him to go ahead and uproot it. Let's say a person is chopping branches off a, what do you call it, an olive tree to use for wood. He shouldn't cover the place where the branches grew out with dirt. That's considered working the tree. But he can cover it up with straw or with stones. Let's say someone's cutting off the tips of vines, grapevines, or he's cutting off the tops of reeds. Or is it kotes kedarko? You can cut those off normally, bikardom, with like a hatchet or a magal or sickle, magir or saw, any way he wants to. Lachavav ein kotesin bisulas, ein kotesin bisulas she kama b'shvias kedar she kotesin b'shar shanim. You can't chop the wood from a fig tree that grew in the seventh year. It's a specific type of fig tree, okay, that's never been cut before. Meisha ksitzasa b'oras ilam. That's considered working the tree. Because by cutting in such a way, it's going to cause the fig tree to grow better. But let's say I want it for the wood, cut it off, because that's not considered not the way that's normally cut. So what's his abnormal way? So you should cut the branches closer to the ground, up to 10 tefachim. When a tree, let's say, is split in half, you could tie it back together. Yosef, right? It's not that I'll fix it. Rather, I don't want the split to get worse. That ends Parak Aleph and Hilchos Shmita, and we'll pick up Parak Beis tomorrow.